sometimes parenthood throws you these curveballs and you're not really sure what to do or how to handle it, but you know that something is up and you're not sure how to play detective to figure it out.
Okay, wait a minute. So I'm guessing that this has to be on your teenager, not your five-year-old.
Nope.
Really?
Wrong. It's on the five-year-old.
I mean, what do you have to decipher, decode, or figure out from a five-year-old? I mean, I figure that the answers are just there right in front of you.
No, you would think so. Dakota, my five-year-old, is very spirited. That's what the pediatricians call her.
Right.
That means that she's crazy. And, you know, she's fearless.
Like, doctors can't call her crazy at this age.
Right.
It would be inappropriate.
Well, huh, what are the words? Spirited.
Passionate.
Passionate.
Right, yeah. Right.
Natural born leader. Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Uh-huh.
Because she doesn't listen to anybody.
Correct. Anyway.
That's great.
So she's been on this kick lately where she believes that she's a superhero ninja.
Okay.
And she takes karate now, and she absolutely loves it.
Nice.
So she does a lot of, you know, you see her get mad, you see her little hands ball up.
Sure.
She's like, hi-ya! And she just punches the air and kicks it. I'm like, all right. But she also believes that she's a superhero. So she's been telling everybody that she can fly.
Yeah.
Now, I have told her many times, you can't fly. You know, and she, yes, I can, mommy, I can fly. You can't fly.
Crusher of dreams. Okay, thanks, mom.
Right. So Hayden, my teenager, her friends think it's funny to tell her, like, you can fly, Dakota.
Definitely.
Like, 100%. You can fly.
Right.
And I've yelled at them. And I said, stop telling her this because she looks up to you. And if you tell her she can fly, I'm telling you, she's going to do something stupid.
Sooner or later, she's going to jump off of something.
So the other night, we're lying in bed. And she's half awake and she looks over and she rolls over her beautiful little head on my chest. And these are like my favorite moments of my life as she's laying there. And she said, mommy. I said, yeah. She goes, can you get me a parachute? And I said, for what? And she goes, it's a secret.
No, this is a secret that you cannot have.
And I said, I'll think about it. And obviously the answer is no. Because
right.
The minute I put a parachute in her hand, what happens? What is she planning to do with the parachute? What is her plan for her to do with the parachute?
I mean, I think that at this point, like, you're right. You might have a serious situation on your hands. So
right.
I think you need to count up the sheets, the linens, stuff like that in the house. Maybe keep these things under lock and key because right. Here's the thing. You're not going to give her the parachute. And I understand why. I understand the reasoning. But she's going to fashion some sort of parachute.
Mm-hmm.
If she believes this. And clearly she's spending time thinking about it because it was the last thought on her mind as she rolled over and she confided in you.
This
and she also understands that you would stop her from whatever it is that she's planning on doing.
Now, part of me is like, do I just get her the parachute because it's safer? Because knowing Dakota, she'll like with scotch tape.
That's what I'm
scotch
saying.
Scotch tape, three pieces of construction paper together, climb to the top, highest apparatus she can get to and just go for it.
I'm worried about her putting something together.
Right.
It's wow, you have quite a decision.
So do you buy the parachute on Amazon or do you not buy the parachute?
I mean, maybe order the parachute and put her under 24-hour surveillance.
I don't know.
I feel like...
It's a no-win situation. No. It's one of the main staples that you probably serve to your family every single week. But what if you could make it with a twist and shock everybody?
Oh, man, this is the big thing. Every time my wife says we're having chicken, she says it like she's all Don Trouton and sad.
Mm-hmm.
Got to reinvent it.
3-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum, chicken and rice, you're going to make it as sexy as it can be.
Chicken and rice, first of all, I don't know who serves our family chicken and rice every week. Is that a thing? Do people do that?
Have chicken and rice, I would say, probably once a week.
Oh, we have it like twice a week.
Yep.
We got some chicken. It's like a free meat.
Yep.
I feel like I should figure out something else now, but this is literally one of my favorite dishes to make. It's so simple, but I want to use chicken thighs. Are you guys friends, fans of chicken thighs?
Oh, no, but I know you are. And I went through a period during the pandemic when you pushed it on me where it's all I made until I realized our cholesterol was going through the roof.
Is that a thing?
What are you talking about? No, I guess, maybe. It has a little more fat for sure, but
all right.
It definitely tastes better. We're going to get some bone-in chicken thighs, okay? Now, if you want to use the boneless, you can, but bone-in is better, and you want the skin on because, listen, that fat is in there. The fat is where it's at. That's where the flavor is at. You want that. I mean, listen, if you want to do chicken, you know, breasts and cut them, you can. It's just not going to be as delicious. So we're going to have one of those, and then we're going to have one of those, you know, those Hillshire Farms kielbasa sausages. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to cut that sausage into little discs. Like, cut it up, and then you're going to get a nice hot pan. I want you to put those chicken thighs into that hot pan, so you're going to sear off and get brown on both sides, and you're going to add that sausage to it, right? That's going to add so much flavor, that sausage. Because, listen, it's one of those things where you get so much flavor just by putting it to the heat, right? So once
so
you got
no
that
oil,
in there, then get
I'm
nice
sorry, Plum, you know I need lots of instructions. So no oil okay. in the pan or anything, or butter? You just put it in just like that?
A little bit of oil, like a, okay. like a teaspoon of oil in the pan. Sear off both sides of that chicken, add that sausage to it, let that fat kind of render out of that sausage so it gets nice and crispy. So then you've got this delicious pot of sausage and chicken. Now, that alone is awesome, but let's make it better. All we're going to do is pour about a cup of rice into it, and this is going to serve probably two or three people. So one cup of rice into it, and they're going to add 2 cups of chicken stock, a pinch of salt, and then cover it and let it rise until that rice starts to get nice and fluffy on top. Okay, what I usually do is I bring it to a boil and take it off the heat. That way it can kind of steam all together at once. I do cover it. A lot of people don't cover it. I cover it. Once that's done, you take the cover off of it. Let's add about a teaspoon. Let's call it one little slice or pat of butter on top of there. You can put more if you like. A pinch of salt. Mix it all together. And let me tell you, this is the most delicious and easy chicken and rice you're ever going to make.
I mean, it sounds good. It sounds easy. And it sounds
does.
Like something I can handle.
And it sounds like something different than I've had over the last, I don't know, couple months with chicken, that's for sure.
Well, just adding the sausage to it adds the twist.
It adds so much flavor. Those sausages you buy from the store, those little kielbasas and things like that, you can add them to anything and it adds so much flavor. It's so I'm doing it all the time now. It's delicious. My wife hates me. She's like, stop putting the sausage and everything.
All right, Plum. Good stuff as always. You can find Plum online at chefplum.com. Thank you, friend.
You guys are the best. Talk to you soon.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What drives you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, when you have like tests done, blood work or any kind of procedure, and they email you your results, but your appointment with your doctor is not for another week, that's all I need to know about you. Why do doctors do that? They know that you're just mulling over the results, trying to decipher it and Googling every word, and they still make you wait a week.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, again, all it does is create more confusion. It gets you all worked up. The best is when they try and call you with results. Like, now you have a well-meaning person that's in the office that's calling you with results. They leave you a message. They say, we have your results. If you could give me a call back, that would be great. They don't tell you whether you're going to live or die on that first message.
Right.
Like, just lead with that. Be like, hey, everything looks good, but I want to discuss your results with you. How about that?
Right. Or just say, you've got 4 days. Call us back.
Yeah, because it's not like when you call them back, you immediately get on the phone with them. It's more phone tag, and you're like, this could be it. This could be my last 72 hours, and I'm chasing phone messages.
And you know it's really hard to get them back on the phone after that.
Yeah. First thing that they say when you go, listen, am I going to live or die? They go, oh, no, you're fine. Well, thanks.
Right. For the last 3 days, I've been crying myself to sleep.
Frank, that's all I need to know about you. Okay. What's up?
If you put your dog in the back of your pickup, that's all I have to know about you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, listen, your dog can hop in the back of your pickup if you're on your property doing 10 miles per hour, I guess, through the woods. But my dog sits up front with a bougie, cushy seat.
Which is weird.
No, it's not weird.
It's where they have a seatbelt for your dog.
He's short, and if he doesn't have a booster seat, he can't see out the window. All right, so... That's how you know I love my dog.
I always wonder, how do the dogs know not to jump out? Even like when people have their windows all the way open,
yeah,
and the dogs are half hanging out, I'm like, how do you know you're not going to get to a red light and your dog's going to jump out?
Oh, sometimes dogs jump out.
It's scary. I don't like that.
And you know what?
I'm part of that.
Maybe that dog's better off, right? If they want to get away from their yeah. owner so bad, there might be a reason.
Mike, that's all I need to know about you.
Sometimes when I drink too much, I get into a Canadian accent.
So if you pick up a fake accent while it is that you've been drinking, that's all I need to know about you?
Yes, sir.
Give me some Canadian accent. Go ahead. Give it to me right now.
Well, don't you know we're having a good time about a campfire, eh?
Right. 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 They say right a lot, too, after everything they say.
Oh, yeah. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Is that Canadian or was that Irish? Or, you know what? I can't place it. Either way.
Cassidy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you hold the door open for me at a store, even though I am very far away from the door, that's all I need to know about you. I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, but I don't want to run to you and the door because you're trying to be nice.
This is always such a tough one, and it's always hard to gauge when is somebody close enough to hold the door or when are they far enough away that you just let it slam in their face?
But you know something? I'm with you. I never thought of it from that perspective. It's a very real moment when you see somebody holding it for you. They're either super wide-eyed and like they've got a joyous look on their face, or they're also kind of like, come on, come on. And you know what? I don't even know you. Now you're rushing me. Keep walking, creep.
Yeah, and then the door gets slammed in your face. And wouldn't you think, like, oh, you couldn't hold the door for me? It's a no-win situation for everybody.
I never think that. Mm. If I'm more than 2 feet away, don't worry about me.
What's that old person thing that you do?
Mm. Well, I get updates from the Nextdoor app, and before you even say it out loud, if you use the Nextdoor app or the Neighborhood app as your main social media, that means that you're old.
100%. Without a doubt.
But for whatever reason, the notifications are clicked on top. It's like doubly bad. I'm getting notifications from them like 3 times a day. And I got a notification this week that there was a high-performing post, and the post is from Denise. And poor Denise doesn't understand how the internet works, apparently, because her post is, please remove me from your list. Thank you. And now there are 32 comments on it. People like it. They're sharing it. It is all over the place. And one of the first comments is, this is something the olds would say. You don't have to do this. This is not a post. This is not where you go for it. You just, you know, click on your requested notifications or whatever, which, by the way, I don't understand either. But there it is. I've been getting updates on this all day, all week. It's great. It's phenomenal.
I think an old person thing that you do is when you accidentally post things too. I know, like that. My dad will swear up and down he did not post that on Facebook, whatever. I'm like, Dad, I can see it. You definitely shared it and posted it.
I mean, this has been going on so long that there are people commenting it on the end that are just begging other people to stop sharing it and commenting on it because it keeps going to the top of their feed.
I think everybody, no matter how old you are, does an old person thing, right?
Yeah. You know, it's that time of year where, you know, all my neighbors are outside. If you complain about your lawn to everybody that's walking by, that's an old person thing to do.
You know what's an old person thing that I do?
Hmm.
I handwrite my things to-do list every single day.
I think that's good, though. That's an old person thing to hold on to.
Well, right. Like, I do. But most people just use the notes on your iPhone and like write it and then delete it. I can't. I need to physically write it. And then the satisfaction I get.
When you rip it up.
When I get to cross it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I get to cross it off with a pen. Oh, gosh. That's an old person thing right there.
I always cross it off with Sharpie. It somehow feels better if I do it like that. If you're worried about where people are parking on your road, that's an old person thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your road. It's not your road.
On our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, we asked, like, what's the old person thing you do? And Morgan wrote, I go to bed at 8 p.m. Well, I'm right behind you, Morgan, so I guess that's I'm with you there.
If you know exactly when the primaries were in your state, that's an old person thing.
Stefania, what's the old person thing that you do?
Well, I recently got a little too excited about getting orthotics, like, for my shoes. It's a good thing for you to do for your body, but I was, like, acting like, this is amazing, and then I had to kind of check myself and be like, okay, relax, it's not that exciting.
It's one of those Skechers commercials, right? Where you're, like, all of a sudden walking on clouds.
Is there inserts?
Like, I got excited about those new slip-on Skechers that Martha Stewart is, like, promoting.
Right.
All of a sudden, Martha Stewart will just promote, like, anything she feels like. She's got a gardening line coming out. It's basically, like, just overbagged sweatpants.
I thought special outfits for gardening was, like, your oldest clothes you had.
No. She's got a whole line, and they're not cheap. They're very special.
Oh, man. Good for her.
What is that old person thing that you do? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Kendra wrote on our Facebook page, I love staying home. Once I'm home from work, I'm not going back out. You know what makes me sad? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, is that as I'm looking at these, I do a lot of those things. And
right,
I didn't know they were old people things. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, what is that saying about me at this point?
This is my comfort zone here. I'm in 93 percentile of this stuff.
A friend of mine asked if I wanted to like bring my kids to have ice cream on Monday at like 6:30. Like we did at an ice cream place. I go, we get home at 5:30.
Right.
I go, to go back out.
We never leave after that.
Yeah, but it's kind of like usually that's it. We're done for
right.
the day.
Just
you know?
The phrase, we get home. That's when we get home.
Right.
Don't you understand that once that happens, nothing happens after that?
Nothing transpires after that. I've been offered to go to a concert on a Sunday, and I'm like, no, it's a Sunday.
No.
Can't do it. Sorry.
No.
Tell Stevie Nicks I got to reschedule. Can't do it.
Going to a Stevie Nicks concert is an old person thing that you do.
That is also an old person thing to do.
Be.
Can I tell you the other day, I was at a store, and there was like a teenage, I don't know, maybe he was in his early early 20s kid who helped me out. I called him young man.
Oh, God. Oh,
I did that.
Old person thing to do.
I'm 37. I don't think I should be saying young man yet, no. But I did that.
Try and pull that back. Yeah, don't say it out loud.
That was bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of old people things to do, I went grocery shopping like a week ago, and I think an old person thing to do is now when you're reading all the ingredients or like everything on the box, you're like, all right, yeah. Will my stomach be able to handle this? Or, like, you know, is this too many calories?
Right. I'm taking note of how many people are calling me sir. That's what I'm doing. I'm starting to, like, I'm like, that's the third person this week.
And I'll tell you this, like, I went gray when I was 25 years old, and it's only gotten worse and worse. So I've been dealing with that for a long time. I've been getting sirred by people my age.
I have not been getting sirred a lot.
You know, I also
all of a sudden lately, they are pouring the sirs on.
Mm.
I also think when people like refer to you like just by your last name, like Mr. Shiloh, you know,
yeah.
Mr. Kamal. Mr. I'm like, just call me Sean.
Mr.
You know?
Kamal is my father.
Yeah. Yes, right? Right.
I can't actually relate to any of this, thankfully. 1-800-330.
I'm sure.
99-99. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that old person thing that you do?
I love bird watching. I love watching all kinds of birds and then writing down the birds that I watch.
The writing down of the things you've observed. That's something.
That's an old person thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have binoculars, yeah, obviously, for this bird watching.
And
you
a
have
journal.
To.
And a journal. Do you have,
yeah,
a quill?
Yeah.
Quill.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I've even brought, like, a camera where I just record the birds coming and going.
And where do you watch that? Like at home when you get home later? I mean, whatever. If it brings you happiness, it brings you happiness.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if I saw you doing it and you were wearing like one of those Fisher's caps or anything like that, I would assume you were 85.
Maisie, what's that old person thing you do?
I have to get my morning stretches in. If I don't, I can't start my day.
My friend's husband does this. She like jokes about it all the time. Well, there's Eric that does 10-minute stretches every morning. I was like, wow. And then you know what I saw my husband starting to do?
What's
when
up?
He found out that Eric was doing morning stretches, now he's doing morning stretches.
Well, I mean, his doctor could have told him, too. That's a thing. So my doctor told me last time he went in there, he's like, we're at that age. He's like, it's our job. He's like, it's our job. You're going to have to do some stretches. If I don't stretch at the end of the night, I can't walk the next day now.
What?
Yeah, something going on with my lower back now. Never had a lower back problem. Now I do.
Wait a minute. Is that a real old person thing? Is you have to stretch every day?
Oh, yeah.
Do old people have to stretch?
Great.
What happens? You shrink?
You're talking about shrinking or staying the same height.
Mm.
It's about staying, you know, limber, flexible.
It says a senior citizen should stretch at least 2 to 3 times a week. I don't think they say that every single day.
Well, with my body, it ain't the years, it's the mileage.
The do's and don'ts of the Great American Solar Eclipse.
I am fired up now, man. I am getting my stuff in order. I'm ready to go. Lost my glasses, though.
You did?
Yeah.
I only bought 9 pairs.
Yes.
And
are they all now?
Well, I kept 4 for my family.
Okay.
I gave one to Sean, one to John,
yeah,
and you had one. So the other ones, I guess, were stolen from my desk. 2 were stolen from my desk.
See that? 2 yeah. People that stole them are going to have good eyes, and my family is going to go without now.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. The do's and don'ts of the solar eclipse. I'm going to read you a statement. Raven, you decide whether you should do it or you should not do it.
Okay, let's go.
Raven lost his glasses that I bought months in advance in, yeah, preparation for this. Should you look at the eclipse with your naked eyes?
No, you should not.
No. If you haven't seen this, everywhere in the world is warning you not to look directly at the sun during, yeah, the solar eclipse because your eyes will turn into little balls of fire and explode.
What are 30% of the people on the planet going to do? Exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to look at it and they're going to be like, no, I just looked at it real quick.
I love that we love to, like, fear-monger because,
oh, yeah,
I've watched so many news reports about protecting your children's eyes and, like, how even if they have the glasses, they may peek over, so you're supposed to put a paper plate around it. And next thing I know, last night, I'm cutting paper plates and trying to make paper plate glasses, yeah, for my 5-year-old.
See, now that I can't find these other 2 pairs of shades, I know that there's one place in town that has them, and they're probably selling them for, like, $20 a pop. It's like an old-school toy store where everything is 5 times as expensive. That'll be me.
Should you take pictures of the solar eclipse with your cell phone?
Yes.
No.
Oh, come on. Really?
It says it's not a good idea to point the cell phone directly into the sunlight unless you have the proper equipment. Otherwise, it can damage the lens of your iPhone.
I mean, I got water protection.
I don't think it's the same thing.
All right. Whatever.
Should you take a nap during the eclipse?
I mean, why not? It's the middle of the afternoon.
Don't. According to astrologers,
what?
Astrologers,
yeah,
people shouldn't sleep during the solar eclipse, especially the elderly who are ill.
Why?
The sun is considered a vital source for all. It's according to astrologers.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, astrologers, they often don't make sense.
Should you eat during the eclipse?
I mean, I'm going to say yes. Who doesn't love a snack?
According to NASA, eclipses will not poison the food you eat.
Thank you. You're right. I can have a cheeseburger. I can have whatever it is that I want.
Can your pets go outside during the eclipse?
I'm going to say no because they might become confused. It's like fireworks or whatever. You want to keep them safe.
Actually, you're right. Keeping pets indoors away from the excitement and unusual activity surrounding the eclipse event can prevent anxiety.
I don't want my dog to get confused and then decide he needs to eat my neighbor.
Right.
What are you doing on my lawn in the middle of darkness?
Can you go to the bathroom during the lunar eclipse? Well, wait a minute.
I mean,
that one was from 2017. This is different.
I mean, I'm going to say yes. During the solar eclipse, I can also go to the bathroom, I would think.
Well, according to this that I found on the internet.
Well, come on.
The lunar eclipse from 2013.
Yeah.
Or 17.
Yeah. You weren't supposed to do it that time, but
no.
You can do it this time
it
or
says,
what?
Unfortunately, toilets operate with moonbeams, so they don't work during
That's
eclipses.
Fake.
I can't verify that information. That's I just found that on the internet, fake. And I wouldn't trust that or everything you read.
Yeah.
If you're pregnant, should you go outside during the eclipse?
Yeah. Why? I mean, why not?
According to myths.
Wait a minute. So now we're not even on the internet anymore, according to a myth.
Pregnant
something
women
made up.
Should avoid viewing the solar eclipse as it may harm the fetus. However, it continues, there is no scientific basis for this belief. The fetus is well protected within the mother's womb. So you can make your own decisions on that. If you're pregnant and want to go outside during the eclipse, you can do whatever you want.
Good luck Monday afternoon, yeah. Really. Good luck.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
It's the Final Four. While the entire country is watching basketball around here, it's not March Madness, it's Mammal Madness. Looking to crown the greatest mammal of all time. You're going to decide who's going to make it to the finals. Jim Knox, he's our animal expert from the Beardsley Zoo. Jim, tell us about the anteater.
Oh, wow, guys, the anteater, an animal that's near and dear to my heart, an animal we have here at Beardsley Zoo. These guys are amazing creatures. They have got a sense of smell 40 times greater than a human. That helps them to find their prey, typically ants and termites, but sometimes other insects as well. As alien-like as they look, they have no teeth. They don't need teeth because they've got this 2-foot-long tongue that can probe down into an anthill or a termite mound, super sticky saliva. They'll eat up to 35,000 ants a day. Kind of write their own rules, right? These guys are true originals.
Jim, you know, the anteater, I just found out that they can grow to be 7 feet long, which is absolutely insane to me. Why don't we have, like, domestic anteaters, like, working the insect population for, you know, what else will they eat? Will they eat cockroaches? What else will they take care of?
That's a great question. Typically, Raven, they're going to be eating the smaller, softer-bodied insects, right?
Okay.
Like the ants and termites, typically. They do actually like fruit on occasion. Our anteaters, their favorite food is guac. They love avocado. Love avocado. Can't get enough
Delicious.
Avocado. No
I
joke. Mean,
I knew I had a lot in common with anteaters, but who knew? We both love chips and guac.
Right. Restaurant-style chips or the rounds, though? Mm-hmm. That's the real question for me.
All of them. All of the above.
Okay.
These guys have power, too. They've got 4.5-inch-long recurve claws. And they can defend themselves from jaguars and mountain lions without issue. So
what?
They have my respect, right, as well as my admiration.
Okay. Give anteaters the respect they deserve.
You know, here we go, the orangutan. I mean, I've seen them where they speak sign language. I think there was a monkey once that drove a car.
That's the number 2 seed, Jim.
Oh, my gosh, guys. These guys, for one, they're the largest arboreal mammal in the world, right? The males can get up to 250 pounds. There was a new orang discovered in 2017, a new great ape species, believe it or not, 2017, called the Tapanuli orang. In 3,000 hours of field work, no researchers ever seen them come to the ground. They spend their whole lives up in the trees,
Wow. And
they do this with incredible strength. These guys can reach 5 feet in height, but their arm span can reach 8 feet.
That's amazing.
They have 7 times the strength that we do, 7 times the strength of a grown human. That's no small feat.
What makes them different from other breeds of monkeys?
These guys are more closely related to great apes like the gorillas, chimps, and bonobos. One of the things that makes them different, they are tailless. They have opposable thumbs like we do. Their thumbs have a different configuration, but they have opposable thumbs so they can grasp really well. They've got a super big and highly functioning brain. And as Raven, as you mentioned, these guys can communicate with sign language. They are so intelligent, and they are really just, they astound us. The researchers who work with them are constantly blown away.
Hmm. Remember when Justin Bieber's got arrested in that other country? I heard he wasn't actually getting arrested. I heard that monkey was applying for asylum.
Can't stop staring at these orangutan photos. They're so cool. And look at their thumbs.
Hey, listen.
You're right. Those thumbs are impressive.
Don't get prejudiced, all right? It's time for the votes.
All right, so it comes down to you. Who's going to make it to the finals, the anteater or the orangutan? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text.
Imagine an orangutan with a 2-foot tongue.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks so much, guys.
Raven, what do you call yourself now? The baker guy?
I am a celebrity chef baker guy. Yeah. Extravagant.
Yep.
So, guy.
Raven decided that he was going to become a professional baker because it brings him joy and happiness. And at first I thought he was kidding. For the last 3 weeks, he has made us a different cake.
And you've enjoyed the cakes. I mean, frankly, last week you called me a baker. You said you can bake.
I agree. And I said you should elevate your game. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, every week we have suggested to Raven a different type of cake. He has made a carrot cake, which he did a great job with. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
He made a lemon cake that was also very, very good. A little bit dry, but like for a first time, not terrible.
I thought it was delightful.
You know what? It in there.
It was that buttermilk southern style. And this is another southern style cake that I made here again today, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a red velvet cake this time. Sean, you requested a red velvet cake. And pretty much all of you said that I needed to make a layered cake this time.
So that was the challenge. Now, here's the funny part. Off the air, Raven said to me that he thought that we were trying to trick him by making a layered cake. You thought that wasn't a real thing that could happen?
No, I thought, I said that out loud. I said that for everybody. No, I thought you were tricking me when you were like, cut it in half. But this time I'm happy to report I did make a layered cake. Now, I'll tell you right now before you even taste this cake, but I learned several things that I would do differently already. But I'm not going to tell you until after you taste it.
Is the butter something having to do with it?
No, butter is not part of the question or the issue here
because
at this
point. Because I've noticed this on Sean's slice and on my slice that there's strange white spots at the bottom of Sean's cake, and I have a few of those myself.
It could be butter from greasing the pan, or it could be the flour, too. I put a little bit of flour on the inside of the pan there.
Not going to stop me from eating this. All right, go ahead. How did you make
it? Take a bite, everybody, and then just taste it. So it's simple again. It's flour, it's eggs, it's sugar, baking powder, baking soda, cocoa, of course, this time around. There's some oil. These are really easy to make and quick to make here, but tell me what you think.
What's crunchy in it?
Oh, that's pecans.
Yeah.
You can't kiss your daughter, by the way. Sorry about your nut allergies when you get
home.
Right.
When you made carrot cake, you didn't put nuts in there because you know that we're a nut-free house because of my daughter's allergies. This week, you decided, who cares about Dakota?
Well, the pecan southern style, I mean, with the homemade dressing. And again, the dressing is from scratch, too. What do you think about
the
cake?
You mean the frosting?
Yeah.
Tell you what I think about this cake.
Well, John, you already finished it.
I think I'm done. With that cake right there.
I mean, that's disgusting what you're doing right now.
Hold
but you
on.
Liked it?
Wait till you swallow and then speak. Nobody knows what you're saying.
It is moist.
I got to say, coming from a guy who loves red velvet cake, this is phenomenal. Personally, would have done without the pecans. I don't know about everyone else, but still, even with the pecans, dude, really good.
This pecan is a
really
hater. Good it was my wife's request for a southern pecan style.
It's good cake.
It's good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Here's a question I have for you guys. Why on earth would they label almond extract and vanilla extract exactly the same and have it in the exact same color and shape and size bottle?
Because they're different words.
Well, right, but I mistook one, and I don't know if it was in the cake mix or the frosting mix, but one of these was supposed to be vanilla, and it got almond.
I'll tell you what the trick there is. You got to read the word. Right. If you read the word, that won't happen anymore.
You don't really that works.
I don't think that it was a problem because of the pecans. The only other thing that I learned was that I would go thicker in the middle, right? So you can see the layer is kind of thin between the two layers of frosting. There's definitely room for more frosting.
That's a rookie mistake. You won't make that mistake again.
No, you're right.
So next week, it's your choice. We finished all of our suggestions. It's your turn to make any cake you want for us. You're going to blow us away. What's it going to be?
I may choose no cake. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Oh,
I don't
know.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's little things, but some weeks are harder to get through than others. So what did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Marina?
I ran 11 miles.
Wow.
On purpose?
Yeah.
For your life?
My legs are sore. Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. 11 miles.
Thank you.
I went up and down a ladder about a dozen times this week, Anna. That was a day ago. My upper legs are still sore.
Right. Going up the ladder could be tough. Are you training for a marathon or are you just running for fun?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about training for a marathon.
You know, you always see those people that post online, just finished 16-mile run, just did a 19-mile run. I have a friend like that from high school that, we're friends on Facebook. And I'm always fascinated by it. Like, you just get up on a Sunday and go for a 19-mile run. Like, to me, that would never cross my mind as something I'd want to do.
If I see that on a weekday, I'm like, are you unemployed? Yeah. Like, what happened? Did you get laid off? It's, like, impossible for me to understand where they find the time.
Do you get the runner's high that they talk about?
I was just going to say that. It's a real thing.
I've never been able to get it. I tried. I tried so many times.
Well, so then you just have to have a margarita anyway.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So try that. Maybe you'd run longer.
It's a shortcut.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
Jolene, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Okay. I have a toilet that just kept running, and you have to do a little repair in the back part of the toilet. It's really easy. And I know it's clean water and everything back there, but it's so icky anytime you have to do anything with a toilet.
The back of the toilet cleaning, the toilet cleaning in general is not my favorite.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely not pleasant, but right. Once you've got to put your hands in the back in that water, no fun.
But isn't that water clean for the most part?
I mean, she just said it. You're saying it. Yeah. You still don't want to do it. If we went into the bathroom right now and I pulled the back off of one of those toilets, you want to stick your hand in there?
There's a difference between workplace toilets and home toilets. Everybody knows that.
You want to go in there and do it right after your husband left that room?
I'd rather it him than you. All right, you enjoy that margarita.
Thank you.
It was very revealing.
Gina, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, my babysitter had COVID, so I was with two children while working all week. It was rough.
I thought it was over. Can't we just tell everybody once again that this is over? You got to tell people that you're no longer taking this as an excuse.
Yeah, but here's the thing: if you're really sick, you're still really sick. You can't watch children. It doesn't matter if it's the flu or it's COVID or it's strep or if it's a bad cold. What are you going
to
do?
Half the time, I want you to lie to me. That's what you used to do. Mm. That's what you did last decade. You lied to me and you came to work, right? And I'd frown and go, maybe that's not a good idea. But you know what? As long as the kids didn't end up with pink eye, I'd get over it. Gina, lie to me today. Lie to me again.
Gina, I feel like this has become such an issue lately because it's so frustrating as a working parent for when these unexpected things happen. And you have to understand, obviously your kids come first, but man, does it stink when all of a sudden you wake up and you have no one to watch your kids and you got to figure it out and you got to figure out how to get your work done and do it all.
It's rough.
Yeah, you enjoy that margarita. You deserved it.
Thank you.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
How would your spouse react if you wanted to take a leave of absence from your job? Beth and Steve. Beth, what's going on?
So my husband and I, we both work in the medical field. I am a therapist, and I am considering taking the summer, taking a leave of absence just for 2 months, so I can have more time to spend with the kids, go to the beach, just do a little self-care and enjoy what life has to offer. I feel like, we're working a ton, and I want to be able to just take some time and not have to think so much about other people and their problems and just focus on myself and my family.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Steve, what's the problem with that?
Well, to be honest, I think it's a kiss of death to leave your patients for 2 months. The patients, they need her, and it takes a lot of time to build that up. It could be detrimental to what she's built because they have no one, so they're going to have to find someone else, and there's no guarantees they're going to return.
Well, so? I find that interesting. What happens if a therapist takes a vacation or goes somewhere? I mean, I know sometimes that they leave you in the hands of somebody else, but right. What if you like that person better?
Well,
right?
I mean, I think that happens. Oftentimes, doctors will refer you to somebody else if they're going to be absent or away. And there's obviously multiple reasons why people leave. Some people just move away, right? Mm-hmm. They don't like their location or whatever. And some people, doctors too, they feel like, well, we've reached a certain point and it's time for you to talk with somebody else. Steve, And all you're saying is true, right? Like, I mean, it could definitely cause you financial harm, right? And then you come back and it's years built up and there's trust. But, you know, Beth, I mean, you're a therapist, right? So if you say you need a break, I got to believe that you kind of know what you're talking about.
Right. But
and you're carrying people's issues over your own is not necessarily a way to live. You're carrying other people's issues over your family's interests. I don't know if that's the way to go.
I have a hard time with this because I think it always goes with what you ideally want versus the reality of what your life entails.
Right.
So if you need that money and now you're going to take a 2-month loss of income, that's a problem. And not all people have that option. If you're going to leave your patients and then you're going to be starting in a lesser place, that's an issue. So are you just being idealistic that you can take this magical 2 months off and everything will be fine? Or are you just setting yourself back?
Yeah, I just think she's daydreaming a bit. I mean, it's not reality. I think coming back is going to be really hard. So I want to support her, but at the same time, it's like everything she's worked for, it's going to be gone.
Everything that I work for, I know what's going on with my patients. I know when it's safe to be able to take some time. And just as they were saying, I can refer them to someone if they need someone. Some of my patients may not even need me for 2 months. You know, like there are just things that we can work out. I talk about self-care all the time. Patients, I encourage them to do self-care. That's what I need to do for myself.
If your spouse wanted to take 2 months off and jeopardize where they were in their career, would you back them up on that?
I have a hard time calling it self-destructive behavior if it's with her family. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
For most people, I mean, unless you're a teacher, having summers off from work is a dream,
yeah.
But it's not a reality. But that's what's going on with Beth and Steve, a disagreement, because both of them are in the medical field. Beth is a psychologist, and she has her own practice, and she would like to take the summer off to give herself some self-care, spend some time with the kids, and kind of recharge. But her husband, Steve, is very much not on board.
Yeah, the thing is like, I kind of understand both their positions, and I feel for both of them in this regard, right? Because I'm always in awe of people that step away from their jobs or step away from a career and go, well, what's the worst that could happen, right? Because, you know, they definitely get some enlightenment with that. At the same time, I know what it is to be Steve, right? Where you're looking at the bills, you're looking at your pattern of purchases and things that you have to pay for, and you're like, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, and he also thinks it's, like, detrimental to her career. Like, what if the patients...
Short-term and long-term problems.
Right. What do you think? Would you do it? 1-800-330-9999. Noah, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. You know, dealing with other people's problems, you know, you definitely need to get some time and unload those for herself. You know, as a therapist, she could probably definitely get a job anywhere else if they, you know, came down to that at the end of the day. So definitely on the wife's side on this one.
Yeah, I mean, getting a job is not the same thing as having your own practice, though. But I get it. I mean, if you're always dealing with other people's issues, you got to unpack your own stuff.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. What if you wanted to step away from your job for the entire summer, spend it with your kids, just do fun stuff, enjoy the sunshine, and your husband, well, he didn't think it was a good idea. How would you feel? So what's going on with Beth and Steve? Both of them are in the medical field. Beth is a psychologist, and she has her own practice, and she says that she wants to take the summer off to be with the kids and give herself her own little mental break. But Steve's got a real problem with that.
He doesn't think it's a good idea. Multiple reasons. He says, number one, what about your patients, right? He's like, you've built up this practice. You know, you've got money coming in. It could be detrimental to both them. But, you know, long term to your business perspective, what's going to happen when you practice in the future? And on the other hand, he's just like, it's not reality, right? Like, he's like, you know, take some days off here, take a week off here, take some time off there. But, you know, other than that, we have jobs to do.
2 months off. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Annie, whose side are you on?
I am totally for her side. I think, you know, I have a 24-year career. I think you get exhausted, and taking the summer off with your kids is the best of everything that you can do for yourself and for your family.
It does sound magical, right?
Yeah, but you know in our business that there's no way. I mean, they even say in our business, go on a 2-week vacation, come back, don't have a job.
Well, right, but like that's what I'm saying. It's like if you have the flexibility to do right. This. Like my husband sent me a link today where Virgin is offering a cruise for remote workers for a month,
mm-hmm.
where you could just go on the cruise for a month and work from there. And he was like, this would be cool if you had a remote job. And I'm like, yeah, would be.
But I don't.
Right. You know? So is it a reality or not?
Hey, Eileen, whose side are you on today?
I am on the wife's side. I also work in the mental health field, and burnout is a real thing. And if she says she needs some time for self-care, then I think she should have it. And also, working in the mental health field, patients come and go all the time. There's always someone who needs you. So if this group doesn't need her, once she returns, there'll be another group that does.
Fair point. Thanks for the call.
It's definitely a growing field.
Hey, Stephanie, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side because if he doesn't let her do that, she's going to resent him.
Well, I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
If you feel like that person is the main roadblock, right? You're like, you know what? I could have had a great summer. Instead, I married this guy 12 years ago. What a mistake I made.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Beth, our audience agreed with you. You know what's best for you. And if that's what's going to make you happy, then take the 2 months and, Steve, back your wife.
Thank you.
I think, Steve, you know, listen, plenty of what you're saying has validity here, but, you know, Beth, you've really got to plan, put together this plan where it's going to be the least detrimental to your practice, your patients, and so forth. Yeah, you might lose a couple people, but you will come back refreshed. It could make you better for your practice in the future anyways.
All right.
Well, that was really deep. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, sounds like everybody's thrilled here.
Yeah. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $400 thanks to Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. Buy luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. Dallas, you ready to play?
I'm so ready.
All right, let's go. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Dallas.
Okay. Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. He won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, Dallas. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
Let's do it.
Number one, Adam Sandler wants to have Price is Right host Drew Carey in Happy Gilmore 2 to honor Bob Barker. What Price is Right game involves the contestant dropping chips from the top of the large pegboard?
Play-Doh.
Number two, Survivor contestants can have privacy if they go to the bathroom alone, but if they go together, it'll be recorded in case they talk strategy. Who hosts Survivor?
Jeff Probst.
Number three, Swifties are counting down the days to her new album drops on the 19th. That's 2 weeks from today. What's that new album called? That's time. Number four, a copy of Action Comics number one featuring the first Superman just sold for a record $6 million. What planet is Superman from?
Krypton.
And number five, Double Dare host Mark Summers talked about why he walked out of his interview while filming Quiet on the Set. In the game Double Dare, what are the colors of the two teams?
Yellow and blue?
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
All right, 3 out of 5 for Dallas.
Okay, not bad. Not great, not terrible. Here we go. Let's
in
see
her
how
defense, there's a crying baby. There's a crying baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Soothe that baby. Soothe that baby.
Number one, Adam Sandler wants to have Price is Right host Drew Carey and Happy Gilmore 2 to honor Bob Barker.
I think that's nice.
What Price is Right game involves the contestant dropping chips from the top of a large pegboard?
That's Plinko.
That's right. Number two, Survivor contestants can have privacy if they go to the bathroom by themselves, but if they go together, it'll be recorded in case they talk strategy.
That makes sense.
Who goes to the bathroom in groups?
I mean, people would always say girls, right? Girls go to the bathroom.
No,
I had to go to the ladies' room.
No. We physically walk to the bathroom together. We don't crowd into a stall together.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen the bathroom on Survivor. So I guess nobody.
Who hosts
sure
Survivor?
Jeff Probst.
Yes.
Probst.
Whatever. Number three, Swifties are counting down days to her new album drops. 2 weeks from today, the 19th. What's it called?
Oh, what is the new one called?
Give it to me.
I don't know.
The Tortured Poets Department.
That's it.
Number four, a copy of Action Comics number one featuring the first appearance of Superman just sold for a record $6 million. What planet is Superman from?
It's easy, Krypton.
You guys are tied at three. Number five, Double Dare host Mark Summers talked about why he walked out of his interview while filming Quiet on Set.
Mm.
In the game Double Dare, what are the colors of the two teams?
Oh, it's isn't it red and blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Dallas. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
All right, this is Dallas, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $500 come Monday, Anna.
Thank you.